I want to share a message with you today entitled The Trust Factor. The Trust Factor. Let me give you a couple of definitions regarding a trust. Trust means the reliance on the integrity, the strength, and the ability of a person. I am into simple these days. Here's a very simple definition. It means confidence. You know, we don't always sense confidence in our world today. But I want to read a verse to you which is going to be the foundation. Actually, there's two verses I'm going to read. You're going to be the foundation of this message today. And I do believe you're going to be encouraged by the time I finish sharing this with you. It's found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And I want to read it to you. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. I love the way it reads. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. It continues, it says, do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Trust. I want to talk about trust today because trust is a factor today. It always has been, and by the way, folks, it always will be. And certainly with the current events that are going on in our world today, trust, the trust factor, is a really big issue. Now, I mean, when you talk about trust, you talk about the trust factor. This goes all the way across the board. For example, in relationships. How many of you know, if you're going to have a relationship, which we all need, there's got to be some trust there. There has to be a trust factor involved in it. What about marriages? Marriages need trust. I need to know that I can trust my wife, and my wife needs to know that she can trust me. Trust is important. Trust is a real need today. What about bosses to employees? Hey, if you're a boss, your employees need to know that they can trust you. What about the government to the people? Hey, have you watched the news of late? There's distrust across the board. And it's not just in America. It's all across the world. Have you lately heard about some uprisings in this world today, and governments are involved? I hope you are aware of that, because trust is a factor. In fact, trust is becoming a huge issue today. Nobody seems to really trust his fellow man or the other person today. Which brings me to a question I want to ask you today. You may want to turn to your neighbor and say, he's about to ask a very important question. Go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. Go ahead and turn to the other neighbor and say, he's about to ask you a very important question. The question that I want to ask you today is, can you trust God? Is God trustworthy? And I hear amens, and I hear this. But let me tell you, not everybody believes and knows that they can trust God. Hey, we all go through seasons where we begin to wonder, can I trust God in this season of my life? Listen, you're going to have different seasons in your life. Some are going to be mountaintop experiences. Some are going to be down in the valley. Some are going to be good. Some are going to be not so good. But the question is, can I trust God in every phase of my life? You see, I'm not talking about your friends today. And I'm not talking about your boss. And I'm not talking about governments. I'm not talking about the government of America. I'm not talking about the government of Egypt or Libya. I'm not talking about those countries. I'm talking about God. Can God be trusted? Has suddenly now God kind of gone schizophrenic? Has God entered into a state of confusion now by all that's going on and just kind of thrown up his hands and turned to the Son and to the Holy Spirit and said, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to have to, you know, just see how it all pans out. Can you trust God? In other words, can I trust God with my life? I realize that statement's kind of general. Can I trust God with my future? Let's bring it on down home. Can I trust God in my everyday life, just day to day, my 8 to 5, or whatever your hours are, whatever your schedule is? Can I trust that God is going to take care of me every day of my life when things are not going well. We all kind of can be up on God when things are going well. In other words, where I live. You know, a lot of people are very discontented about where they live. They just don't like the vibes in their neighborhood or in their city. What about where I work? Can I trust God? And I mean, the list can go on and on and on. Let me just tell you, folks, these two verses that I have read to you say that we can trust God if we do what He says to do. I believe God is trustworthy. Do I ever have days where I have... Come on now, I'm going to get real with you as a preacher. Do I ever have days where I say, now, come on, God. Do I ever get a little bit of an attitude toward God? Every now and then. In fact, I told my wife the other day, I said, I'm mad at God. Just thought I'd let you know. I said, you know, I've walked with God long enough. That does not move God. You know, we've had children before, and some of you have when you're raising your children. They get a little attitude. I mean, you're bothered by it and you're concerned by it, but you know what's best for them, and you're just not moved by the temper tantrum. Is that true? Can you trust God? I believe you can, and I believe if we'll do what God says we need to do in these verses, I believe everything is going to work out. Amen. It's going to pan out. No, this is not a luck thing. This is a thing that is for sure. Here it is again in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and depend not on your own understanding." Verse 6 says, "Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." Now history tells me, and I am a student of history, history tells me that you can trust God. History tells me that God created this world. And He didn't just one day, you know, said, "Hey, I want to make a world here. Y'all make it on your own." History tells me you can trust God. Events in the Bible tell me that you can trust God. People's lives in the Bible tell me that you can trust God. Folks, listen, I don't believe the stories in the Bible are metaphoric analogies of who God is. I believe these are real people who lived and breathed on the earth. In fact, I've seen some of their tombs. I've seen some of their graves. Their lives tell me that we can trust God. What I want to do this morning is, just for a few moments, I want to study the life of a person in the Bible who had to trust God. Now again, we tend to think about these Bible characters with some kind of a special anointing on them that is different from, you know, us in our lives. They just, you know, they were destined to do certain things. Now let me tell you why they are written in the Bible. It's because they trusted God and they did what God said through the ups, through the downs, through the positives, through the negatives. They did what God said, because I can tell you there are hundreds, probably even thousands of people that could have been written about in the Bible you don't hear anything about. And some of them you do hear about, like Judas Iscariot. And what a sad narrative about his life. Abraham is really not much different than you and I. The only difference is he lived in a very primitive time. But listen, the need of humanity is the same today as it was yesterday, and it's going to be on throughout history. Here's something you learn about Abraham's life. Abraham was called to go on a journey with God. Hey, beloved, listen to me. Every one of you are on a journey. Every one of you within the sound of my voice, however you're receiving this message today, you are on a journey with God as well. Man, I like to hear a great big amen every now and then. We're all on a journey. And we're called to go on this journey with God. By the way, folks, when God calls you to go on a journey, guess what? He will go with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you, but He will go with you. This journey that Abraham was taking, he did not know, folks, if you read the Bible, when God spoke to him, He said, "I want you to go and take this journey." Abraham didn't know exactly where it was going to lead. Folks, I know we We do like to work everything out intellectually, and we like to plan, and there's nothing wrong with using your brain. God didn't tell us to crucify our brain and our intellect just because we got saved, just because we're a Christian. But let me tell you, and especially in your westernized nations, we're taught to plan and dream, and all that is good. You've got to do that. But when you start leaning on strictly intellect, which is the reason the world's in the mess it is today. We're operating this world. We're trying to operate governments strictly through intellect. Folks, it will end the same as it always has when God, who is the Creator, is not factored into this thing called life. Abraham was called to go on a journey, and so are we. Abraham was human, just like you and me. When Abraham was younger, he thought he could conquer the world and he'd never have any problems. He thought that he was God's man of faith and power for the hour, and he was. When he got a little older, after sleeping in the tents and traveling around, he occasionally got up. Some of you who are a little older can relate to this. The young folks can't yet. He'd get up and occasionally the hip might hurt a little. Or other problems might develop. What I'm saying is he was a human being like you and me. Abraham had to deal with fear and doubt just like we do. Folks, listen, I met the person, if they'll get honest with you, that doesn't at least have to combat. We have to win over it, but that doesn't deal with fear and doubt. There's more fear in the world today than I have ever seen in my some 52 years of life. There's more fear, there's more doubt, there's more distrust than I've ever seen. And maybe some of you have lived a little longer than me, maybe in a different time. How'd you like that? Living in a different time there. Maybe you know something that I don't. I'm sure those of you who were alive during World War II, I'm sure there were some challenges there. The narrative of Abraham's life begins in Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel. And don't turn there yet. I want you to see, I love to read things in the context of its setting. And I mention the Tower of Babel for a very specific reason. No, Abraham is not listed, but let me tell you, it's no accident that Abraham comes on the scene and the narrative of his life is talked about right after the Tower of Babel. Now, those of you who don't know, the Tower of Babel is when man got together and decided they were going to build a tower that would reach to heaven. In other words, they were going to make themselves God. Sounds like today. Building our own power temples, our own source. We don't need God. You know, really, nothing's new under the sun. Man was independent, and God had to come down and he had to scatter it all. God said, listen, God said, if we don't go down and stop this, they will. There's nothing under the heavens they won't be able to do. When you get people, here's the positive side of this. When you get people together in a unified manner, there is nothing they can't do. I'm talking about Christians in a unified manner doing something for God. There is nothing that we can't do. But the problem is we're kind of like those at the Tower of Babel. We want to do our own thing. We want to build our own God. We want to be God, and that will never work. Abraham's life extends all the way from Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel, and it goes all the way through chapter 25. Now, when you study Bible characters, that's a rather lengthy narrative of an individual's life. That's a lot of history that is being covered in a person's life. And the Bible says this, and I'm just going to go through and just give you some highlights of what went on in Abraham's life. Abraham marries the love of his life, Sarah. Now, do you think Abraham ever had any challenges in his marriage? See, we just kind of read through the Bible, you know, Abraham married Sarah, blah, 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 blah. We don't stop to think about the humanity that was involved there. I mean, I'm not going to preach about marriage today. I did that a few weeks ago. Abraham marries Sarah, and as a whole, they have a great marriage. There's a problem, though, and I'm going to tell you, it certainly opens up for potential problems. Sarah is unable to bear children. Now, what I'm trying to do today, I'm trying to show you the humanity of Abraham. I'm trying to show you that Abraham is not much different than you and me. I want to ask you something. Sarah can't bear children. Have you ever been around a woman who wanted to bear a child and couldn't? Well, let me tell you, as a pastor, I have. It's not the best of situations. And particularly in Bible time, I mean, you really were not much if you couldn't produce children. Now, thank God for all the advances we have today and adoption and other things. It was a very shameful thing in the Old Testament if you were a child of God and you could not bear children. You think that opened up opportunities for problems? But that's not the end of the story. Abraham is called to leave his native country and his relatives and his family and go to a new land. I want to just stop and say, I probably don't have to say this. Folks, listen, don't come to me tomorrow, please, and say, God told me to move to so-and-so. It happened while you were preaching, and I'm moving them. You know, come on. Get you some counsel. Not talking about that kind of stuff, that flaky stuff. But there are times where God calls people to take ventures and do things for Him. But I promise you, that process doesn't just happen in one sermon. And it needs to be confirmed by those who are around you. I just felt the need to talk about that a little bit. It'll save me some counseling. And it'll save you some heartache. And probably your future. But Abraham is called to take a journey with God. By the way, I got to say one more thing. Where the Lord says, Seder, I got to say it. A lot of people make moves that God never tells them to make. A lot of people moving and shuffling around that God is not telling them to. They're discontent. You know what their problem is? They're trying to work it all out in their brain. Instead of trusting God, they're bailing out. They're moving around. Whatever is going on, the new thing. Hey, we got to be in on the new thing. How many of you know people like that never mature and they never grow up? They never ultimately see the blessing of God in their lives. Abraham is called to leave the country that he's familiar with and his family and to go to a new land. I got news for you on this. We are called, oh church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has been calling His church to go on a new venture and a new journey. And you know what we're doing most of the time? We've got our heels in the dirt and we're not moving, we're not going anywhere. And if you try to change anything, if you try to change anything that gets me out of my comfort zone, well, I might just bail on you. Don't do it, folks. Don't bail because God wants to change some things. We're all called to go on a journey, but I don't think it's always a physical move. I think it's a spiritual journey. In fact, I know God has called the church to go on some spiritual journeys. Abraham begins this journey, and when God speaks to him about this journey, He lets him know that there's a great promise attached to the call. Now, you know, a lot of us, and I'm talking about me and I'm talking about preachers too, we start out on this journey with God and we have great hope and we have great vision about what God wants to do. And then all of a sudden we get married. And then maybe the dream of our life doesn't work out. I am speaking metaphorically now. In other words, we start doing life. And all of a sudden, things start changing a little bit. Or this doesn't work out a little bit. And all along the way, if we are not very careful, what God called us to do, we'll miss because we suddenly stop trusting the Spirit of God to lead us, and we just start trying to work everything out in our brain. We start reasoning. And then if we really want to make some kind of move, by the way, I didn't have any intention of saying all these things, then if we really want to make this move and the wise people have told us we don't need to make this move, what we do is then we find some folks who will agree with the move so we can make the move anyway. I can tell you, folks, listen, this is love speaking. You've got a mess awaiting you. And then you got to come all the way back where you left God. And goodness, that is tough to do because then the pride says, well, if I let everybody know I made a mistake and I made a move without God's permission, then they'll think I'm not somebody. Get on back quick. Get on back quick. I said it last week and I'm telling you, the prodigals are being called to come home. The prodigal children that decided whatever to go on a spiritual journey that God never told them to go on. Those who decided, hey, forget the spiritual stuff. I'm going to go live in the world a little while. There's something out there I'm missing. God is calling the prodigals back. The prodigals need to return to the house. Can I hear a great big amen? Amen. You know, the prodigal son wasn't called to receive the inheritance and go do what he did. Abraham does what I believe he was supposed to do. He takes his nephew Lot on this journey. How many of you know there are challenges over this? Now, I know there's a few teachings about that's where he made his mistake when he took Lot with him. How many of you know it wasn't a mistake? He was doing what he was supposed to do as the head of the household at that time. But he took his nephew Lot on this journey with him. And besides, it doesn't matter if it was right or wrong. There were some challenges that developed over land, over stuff, over money. Sounds like Abraham is doing life to me. Sounds like Abraham's been called on a journey, but he's doing this thing we call life. How many of you know life is real? Welcome to reality. And then Lot gets in some real trouble. And then guess what? Father Abraham has to go rescue a Lot from his trouble, and he does. And by the way, if you go read the story, Abraham, by right, should have been able to take the best land that was available. But you know what? He was a righteous man. You know what he did? There was arguing among the shepherds and all those about who was going to get what land. And Abraham just knew that God would bless. It's a sign he still trusted in God. And he said, Lot, you just take whatever land you want. Guess what Lot did? Lot went and took the best land in Canaan. I mean, he took the fertile soil. And Abraham, really, if you go study, I mean, he took some bad land. Folks, how many of you know sometimes it seems like you're going under, or it seems like you're going to take some bad land, but God can turn bad land or bad circumstances into something good? Amen. He can do it. Now, here's the part of the story where I know that Abraham had some trust issues, and I can't blame him. When you realize that Abraham is an older gentleman now, Sarah is not, you know, I mean, she's not young either. Keep in mind, when God told Abraham to go on this journey, the ultimate promise was, I'm going to give you a seed, and through that seed, the earth is going to be multiplied and everybody's going to be blessed, even down to our day. If we're in Jesus, folks, we're benefits of the blessings of Abraham. But there is a problem with doing life in this world. I'm telling you, there can be challenges doing life with God. Abraham leaves in faith, trusting that he is going to give birth to a son. The promise is going to come. But guess what? Abraham is becoming an older man, and guess what? The child of promise has not come yet. But all along the way, God, as he does with us, he would affirm to him, just hold strong, son. The promise and the vision and the dream will come about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I promise you there are some things that I feel very strongly in my heart that I have not seen yet. I have not seen them yet. And I'm holding out that I will see them. I don't know if this is going to make sense to you. I am diligently trusting the Lord with all my heart. I do better on some days than other days. Abraham really wants this son. And he was blessed in every other way. It seems like there are seasons in your life you can have every blessing but the one you really want. I want some things. And I want them because I believe God has put them in my heart. But it seems like in life, when you're doing life, when you're doing... Come on, I'm not trying to bum God out here. But when you're doing life with God... Folks, listen, God is not on my page. I'm sorry to inform you, He is God. His ways are not my ways. His ways are higher than my ways. He does know what He's doing. He's still in control of the ship. Can I hear a rousing amen? He doesn't have this son. Do you think that Abraham at this point in his life is having a little trust issue? Do you think that maybe now as he's getting a little older and suddenly he realizes, man, it isn't happening. I'm getting old. Older guys can relate to what I'm talking about. Sarah's thinking, Abraham. I'm getting older now. You told me, Abraham. You think they ever had an argument? Abraham, you told me now that if we were going to go on this journey, there's going to be this great big blessing come, and you know, God's going to bless us. Abraham, what's going on? You got me out here in the middle of the desert. I've been to that desert. This last trip to Israel, it is a desert. It's so much a desert that when I showed people the pictures and some of the footage of it, they said, is that a fake background y'all are standing in front of? No, it's real sand and desert. For as far as the eye can see, no plants, no water, no nothing. It's real. Abraham, you got me out here in the middle of this desert. I don't see anything but sand. I don't see people. I don't see hope. Abraham, where is the promise? You know, that's the way it goes down. Dude, where's the promise? In other words, I bet you there was a little bit of tension between Abraham and Sarah. She wants a child. He's frustrated that no child has come. He knows that he's heard God. He's even had some altar experiences where he built some altars and God reaffirmed the promise is coming. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The closer you get, I know some of you are tired of hearing this. I get tired of hearing this every now and then. The closer you get to the promise, the more difficult, the more challenging, the more hardships you will encounter. I don't know if you'll like this or not, but I'm going to tell you what God is doing in those last moments of preparation before we see the promise. He's doing some fine-tuning on our attitude. He's doing some fine-tuning on our praise. Do we really praise Him because of who He is, or do we praise Him because of what we can get from Him? You know, we usually figure that out somewhere along the desert journey on the way to the promise. We usually start having to analyze that. You know, a lot of problems that happens with people are they're here and gone. It's usually not the preacher they're mad at or the church. It's usually God. They're really mad at God. They just don't have the nerve to say, I'm mad at God. You know, I'm mad at God. So since I can't see God, I think I'll just be mad at you people. I'm just mad at you. You're my problem. It's the crowd I'm hanging around. It's the church I'm hanging around. It's that preaching that I'm listening to. I need a more faith-filled preacher. I need a better church. I need this. I need that. No, let me tell you what you're doing. You're leaning on your own understanding, and you're not trusting God. Let me tell you, I know a little bit about what Abraham was experiencing. Let me tell you, in the westernized culture, if you're not young and good-looking and got a lot going for you, this society will dump you quick. Ask movie stars about that. Some of you are so down on them, they go and get all this face work and other things done. They just want to make a livelihood because they know they're about to get dumped. This world will do that. And what I'm saying is, as we start getting a little older, and I've done some of this. My next birthday, I'll be 53. You start saying, Lord, any time now, I'm not getting more energy and strength. It takes a little more rest. It takes, you know, I'm just not what I used to be. I was around some guys this last week. Now, again, I don't want to get controversial. That's beside the point, whether it's right or not, whether it's of God or not. There's a lot of things that come and go in the church. And there's one young gun who's pastoring 8 churches. One other guy having 8 services on a weekend. I'm not there. Maybe a few years ago. What I'm saying is, as Abraham got a little older, I'm sure that Abraham began to say, now what about this, Lord? And I know that there was a problem because Sarah gets this great idea. Abraham, look, let's work a deal here. Let's get together. God isn't going to do what He said He's going to do. It isn't going to happen. It's just not. God, we missed God somewhere. God missed us. Something went wrong. Here's what I want you to do, Abraham, because I know, I see the agony of your heart. I know you want this promise. I want it too. I'm embarrassed when I go out in the neighborhood. I can't bear any children. Here, you take my handmaiden, Hagar, and let's produce a child. What does Abraham do? Abraham did what he believed was right. He went and had relations with Hagar, which was not uncommon in those days. And guess what? Hagar bore a child to Abraham and Sarah. His name was Ishmael. How many of you want to know who Ishmael is? All you got to do is go to the Middle East or go to New York or go to Dallas, and anywhere where there's an Arab nation, that is Ishmael. And God loves Ishmael. He doesn't like some of the things Ishmael is doing. But God loves Ishmael. You can read that in the Bible. They got together and hatched a plan. Let's produce our own child. Well, let me tell you, and I'm not going to try to be God here, but how many of you know when you produce an Ishmael, and then later on, if Isaac comes along, you have a little bit of tension. You want to know what's going on in the Middle East? Let's simplify it. It's Ishmael and Isaac fighting. It's Ishmael and Isaac. Now, I'm not going to go into theology whether or not God permitted it. God loved Ishmael, and God blessed Ishmael, gave him 12 tribes. I mean, he came into the blessing of God and the blessing of Abraham. But the problem was that wasn't the answer. And it did cause some tension up in that house. Have you read it lately? There was some problems. Sarah now gets jealous. I mean, there's problems. And Sarah, I mean, she just keeps complaining to Abraham about this Ishmael kid. I don't like Ishmael. I don't like Hagar anymore. Abraham said, she's in your care. You do whatever you want to. I mean, Sarah left the house of men. He said, Hagar, pack your stuff with that little kid you got and get out of here. You think there wasn't some tension? Do you think there was not an opportunity to question God and all that God had called them to do and where God had called them to go? Do you think they ever for a moment had lack of trust for God? Do you think there is a moment where all they did was lean on their own understanding? Oh, I'm telling you, it is true. And I want to say this. God has given us these stories in the Bible, according to the writer of Hebrews and other writers, to be an example for us. Abraham was a human, folks. He had human tendencies. In fact, Abraham Abraham, if you study the Bible, is referred to as the father of faith. He taught us what real faith is. But he had a lying issue. Can I be real with you this morning? Sarah was one hot chick. That's funny. No, that's what the Bible says. I just gave you some East Texas vernacular for it. And everywhere they went, when they went into a new country on their journey, he would lie about who she was, which wasn't a total lie, but it was a partial lie. He said, she's my sister. Come on, Abraham, man up. Bible says she was so gorgeous and so pretty that everyone, when they went into a new place, they coveted her. And they wanted her. And guess what? The kings would do it. The minute Abraham would come in town, they'd say, Abraham, how you doing, dude? Who's this chick? All right, she's coming into my harem. No, this is real. I think there's some room for problems. Now, the good news is, eventually, the promise came to pass. Hallelujah. Father Abraham is, he's about 99 when the promise comes again. 99. He said when God came to him, at this point, he's not cynical, he's not bitter. When God comes and reminds him of the promise, he just says, well, now God, he's got a little mind issue here. I'm 99 and Sarah's womb is dead. God, get a grip. Now, the reason we laugh is because that's what we do in our heart somewhere along the way. We may not say it out loud. We say, God, get a grip. Come on, get real with me, God. Don't you know what's going on in the world? Don't you know what's going on, especially if you've got a call to be a preacher? Don't you know what's going on in the world? Time is getting short. Come on, let's get it on. Don't you understand? He understands. That promise will arrive on the time that God says it will, because God came and he said to Sarah, now he said, in about a year from now, you're going to have this child that you've been wanting. You're going to have a child in about a year. Sarah laughed. She's not cynical or bitter anymore. She's just like, get real, God. And guess what? Little Isaac. Boom. Boom. He pops on the scene. The promise came. And guess what? Everybody was happy. The promise came to pass. But my question to you, was there ever a time where Abraham had the opportunity and did have a trust problem? Oh, I think we're safe in saying he did. You think he ever wanted to lean on his own understanding? Oh, I think so. And very briefly, let me just say this. By the way, one of the next things that happened, Sarah passes away. What about Joseph? Oh, dear Jesus. Joseph. Little Joseph. By the way, this is the reason I've got on this shirt today. This is my Joseph coat of many colors today. Poor Joseph gets a dream. Gonna do something for God. Gonna do something for the family. Brothers throw him in a pit. They decide they want to kill him. Then they decide, no, why kill him? We can make some money off of him. So rescue him out of the pit. Now, you know, hey, it's glorious when you get a dream. Everybody's on the mountaintop. What about David when he got his little call in the shepherd field to go be the king of Israel? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Boom. Next thing you know, he's taken to Egypt. He's working in Potiphar's house. He's prospering again. He's got some hope. Well, I may be in Egypt. I can't see the family, but at least I'm in Egypt and I'm prospering now. Praise the Lord. Boom! The woman of the house. Folks, we got to get real about the Bible. She looks at him with lustful eyes. Come on. I'm sorry. She wants to have sex with him. Don't talk about sex in the church. Why not? God talks about it. You need to start reading your Bible a little closer. She looked at him with lustful eyes and said, he is one good-looking, hot young man, and I want him, and I will have him. Boom, guess what? He ends up in prison. The little boy just had a dream. A dream. But you know the rest of the story. He comes out of the prison. And let me tell you something, folks. Here's what I've learned. Whenever God gets ready to promote you, you better be ready. See, we're never as ready as we think we are. I'm telling you, when the windows open, when the doors open, it's usually not just one, it's multiple doors that open all at once. You know, we say, I'm ready, God, I'm ready now. Come on, God, I'm ready, I'm ready. Come on, open door, I'm ready, I'm ready. Are you ready? Can you handle it? Can you handle being on the top? Can you handle all the temptations that come with being on the top? Can you handle being the money guy with all the money when everybody else is going broke? Can you really handle it? Trust God and let God do what He needs to do in your heart so you'll be ready when the blessing comes. God loves you enough not to open doors that we cannot handle. But what we need to do is we need to stay focused on what God's wanting to do in us right now, where we're at, where we live, where we work. Can God be trusted? Can God be trusted with my life? Can I trust God with my future? Can I trust God with my children? Can I trust God in the day-to-day things of life, just doing life? Well, the Bible says, number one, that God cannot lie. Numbers 23 and 19, Titus 1 and 2 says God cannot lie. Now, you either have to take God at His word, or I don't know, then there's a problem. Number two, history says that we can trust Him. Number three, the lives of those in the Bible say that we can trust Him. And I can just tell you, folks, my own personal experience tells me, and I'm preaching to myself right now, that I can trust God. I can trust God. The history that I have with God says when you think you can't go any further, when you can't hold out for the promise anymore, when you think you are fading, my experience says that God will come through. And then the testimony of my friends tell me that I can trust God. That's what the testimony tells me. So what do you do when trust is a factor? What do you do? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 tell us what to do. Number one, he says that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. God is trustworthy, folks. All of your heart. Not on Monday, not only on Tuesday, not on Wednesday. With all your heart, every day, you trust Him. And what do? Yeah, you use your brain. But you lean not on your own understanding. Come on, everybody, look at me. You don't lean to your own understanding. You don't try to figure everything out. And here's what you do. Thirdly, you seek His will in all that you do. We've got to go buy a car next week. What do? You seek God's will. You know, we're considering purchasing this or purchasing that. Or I'm considering marriage. I'm considering a job change. I'm considering a lot of things about life. What do I do? You seek God and you ask Him to guide you. And you know what He promises to do here? He promises you that He will show you which path to take. Abraham had to stop at different seasons and phases of his life and stop and build an altar. You know why Abraham built an altar? He needed to hear from God again. You know where you hear from God, folks? At the altar. Wherever you hear God's voice, wherever you and God meet. And I'll tell you, a good place to do that is in the church house. But you need a place where you meet with God. And you build an altar there and you regularly meet with God. And you say, God, shall I? Shall we? What should I do? And the promise is that God will direct you. And God will guide you. I don't want to miss God's will for my life. I don't want to be a casualty in the last one-third of my life. I've come too far, and I've worked too hard, and I've believed, and I've been standing, and I'm going to stand until, by God's grace, till I see the manifest promise that God promised me. How about you this morning?